You are listening to Comics Reviews with Robin Dave.
I did drop off, like, probably around 20 trades at the library. I donated a bunch of books today, so...
That's very noble.
That is. And I was checking out their graphic novel section, which is in... It's in desperate need of some reform. It's bare. And I looked for the books that I donated last time, and they weren't there, so that made me happy. I mean, people are reading them.
Yeah, this is at the library?
Yeah, the library a couple blocks down from me.
So what does that mean? They just give them away to people, or people can check them out at the library right now?
Can check them out and whatnot, but like, the library near me, all Chicago public libraries are really awesome and connected, and so if you want to check something out and your library doesn't have it, you know, one other place in the city might, so they transfer a lot of books all the time and everything, but which is good because the one in Bridgeport, mine is pretty small. Although we're not that far from downtown, which is like 9 stories. That library, it's huge. It's amazing. It's one of the coolest places in the city, but yeah, no, so because our library isn't terribly large, doesn't seem like they have a big selection on graphic novels, and it's shrunken, you know, since the last time I've been in the library too, so just a few months ago. Did you want to talk about anything you read or no?
I started to read that crossover with Space Ghost and Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, how is it?
And I was just like, I got about like maybe halfway through it, and I'm like, I'm going to take a break. Maybe I will come back, and I will be refreshed, and I will see something that I didn't before.
Yeah. I saw the reviews on, like, a few people are reading on a Goodreads. Mm-hmm. Didn't look very favorable.
Okay, so then it's just not me.
No. I don't know if, any of those crossover books are any good. I haven't read any of them yet. I kind of want the Flintstones and Booster Gold.
Yeah, I want to check that out. I did buy the Titans annual.
How was that?
I didn't start it yet, but I just figured I'd mention that I bought it.
Okay, excellent.
So you can go ahead.
Okay, cool. I read the Batgirl annual. Seemed like DC had a bunch of annuals come out this week, and this was cool. There were 2 stories in the annual, and the first story, the first half of the book, called World's Finest by Hope Larson, and Inaka Miranda was the artist, and it's a Batgirl-Supergirl team-up, and I don't really have much to say about the story. It's kind of a simple story, but it's a lot of fun just seeing these two characters interact, and I would love for a team-up book with the two of them. And it was just really a lot of fun. But then the backup book, or the second story, excuse me, backup, it's called Rain Check by Vita Ayala, and the artist was Eleonora Carlini. And this one was kind of cool. It was the return of Riot Black. So Riot Black and old-ish. Batgirl villain kind of returns, and she's trying to take care of that, doing some like undercover work and having her friend Frankie help out do recon and stuff, while she's also trying to have like a friendiversary with her friend Elysia, and she keeps blowing her off, and so they finally make time to plan like a friend date together, and then while she's there, of course, things go wrong and she needs to be pulled away, so Babs makes an excuse about having to do some dissertation and meet up with the teacher, and then her friend won't let her go alone and tags along, and it turns out that they go to this abandoned quote-unquote abandoned-ish building where Riot Black is, and the two girls without Batgirl having to, you know, without Babs ever having to put on the costume or anything, her and Elysia end up, like, beating the crap out of this dude and, like, saving the day. And it was just really fun team up. And she's like, where did you learn all those moves and everything? So it was... But, no, it was a really fun book. $4.99, which is, I mean, the price of the annuals now. That's how it is. But, 2 stories. I don't remember how many pages each story was, but might have been like two full stories, maybe not that much, but definitely worth the read. X-Men Prime, over on the other end in the Marvel camp. This book was cool. It's similar to the crap I had it in my head. Now I can't think of it. After Schism, it was like X-Men had a book post Schism, kind of recapping everything and sort of setting the direction for the new teams to go in after the X-Men split up. And this is kind of similar. This is Kitty Pryde returning to Earth after her time in the Guardians of the Galaxy. And she meets up with Storm. Storm's like, hey, I'm quitting X-Men and you're going to lead it. And Kitty Pryde's like, I just got back. What is this all about? And, you know, we go through and we kind of catch up what's been going on the last, like, 20 issues. And Extraordinary and Uncanny and all new X-Men. And it just, it's a really nice book where we see Kitty sort of, like... This recap is for readers, but it's also, you know, it's for Kitty Pryde, it's for readers too. But, you know, Kitty's like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. So now it sets the tone for her to lead the X-Men Gold Team, which is her, Logan, Old Man Logan, Rachel Summers, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and Storm, who Kitty would not allow to quit. Then, you know, there's going to be X-Men Blue, which is the original five X-Men, the displaced X-Men. And then Weapon X, which is Old Man Logan, Domino, who else? Sabretooth, Lady Deathstrike, and there's someone else. I forget who else. But it sort of sets the tone for those books. But it was a lot of fun. This one was Mark Guggenheim, Cullen Bunn, and Greg Pak writing it. And since they're all kind of setting up their own books, and Ken Lashley, Ibram Robertson, and Leonard Kirk on art duties. So it's kind of split, but each writer and artist kind of took over where it pertains to their future, their upcoming books. So that's really it. It's a nice refresher. So if anyone wants to jump into the X-Men, it's kind of a good jumping on point. And lastly, for books that I've read this week, dove into a book from, 16 years ago? 15, 16, 17 years ago? I don't remember how long it came out, but Green Arrow Quiver. It's been on my to-read list for quite some time, even really before I got back into monthly reading or anything, and weekly reading. But I've been meaning to read this, Quiver by Kevin Smith, Phil Hester on art, and this was interesting. It was sort of Kevin Smith bringing Oliver back from the dead and setting up a whole new, not a whole new, but it sets up a few new characters that are look like they come into play in the Brad Meltzer and Judd Winnick runs. And sort of, it's funny because we're kind of confused as to why Oliver's back as we're reading this, and so is everyone else. And everyone's trying, you know, like the Justice League abducts him. And Ollie freaks out. He's like, what am I doing here? And essentially when he came back to life, he was missing a lot of memories. So he remembered a lot of what happened, but his memory cut off about 10 years before, you know, that time, the DCU history. So he didn't remember when he killed a man. Like, his memories cut off after him and Hal took a road trip, which I don't remember when those issues were, maybe the 70s. 80s, 90s, I don't remember when they were, but it's very interesting. It's I won't say complaints, just like odd, well, maybe, but a few just things that read odd to me, and maybe it kind of made sense at the time. But Oliver Queen, you know, this like liberal hero, which, you know, that's how the character's been. I'm not reading the current run, so I don't know if he's being written that way, but I remember in the first few issues, it seemed like he kind of was as well. But Kevin Smith goes over the top with pushing the fact that, you know, Ollie's liberal, and it's very much like all cops are bastards and blue fascists, and like it's very, very, very overhanded the whole thing. It's abrasive in the way it reads. Like Kevin Smith's not subtle. It's also incredibly verbose. But there's one dude that Ali ends up. I forget his name. I wish I had the book in front of me, but ill prepared. But this older guy that Ali ends up crashing with for a while, and you know he's like this creepy old guy that's up to no good. But you don't know exactly what until the last two issues of the book, which is it's issues 1 through 10, and but you kind of know he's up to no good. It's this super rich guy that Oliver ends up saving, and so he lets him live with him. And I'm not going to spoil what the bad parts about him or anything like that are. But when he does kind of come clean with his evil plan, the whole time the character's being written, he talks about how he's gay, and like he broadcasts it a lot. And at
he's
the
like,
end,
"Hello, I'm gay."
Sort of, and like it's like Kevin Smith not knowing how to write gay people at the time. It's like very in comics, it's like incredibly bizarre. But then at the end, they face off, and then Oliver's like, "I thought you were gay," and the guy's like, "No, I just did that so you would trust me. I knew it would play into your liberal sensibilities that if I told you I was gay, that
this is absurd.
That you would automatically trust me." And I'm like, I don't think Kevin Smith oversimplifies people's view on sexuality and political views. It was just such a weird thing. Like, I had fun with the book, and I thought it was a good time, and like, it was a great story to get Oliver back in. You get to see all these cameos from the Justice League members and stuff. But like, when Kevin Smith tried dealing with the like pseudo political things about Oliver, like, it didn't come off as natural at all. It was very
funny to me. Now I want to read this again because I stopped reading it.
It's good. It's funny too, because I recently finished Kevin Smith's Daredevil, which if I could rate it like a negative 12 out of 5, I probably would. Like, I did not like it at all. I don't know why. You know, I wasn't reading then, so maybe it was a book that it was a time and a place where you needed to be a part of comics then, where it was this kind of revolutionary thing. But like, going back and reading it, I don't like it at all. And which is funny, because it kind of put me off from Kevin Smith's comics. And I've read his other books and stuff before, like a couple of his Batman miniseries. And he wrote, like the $6 Million Man comics with Phil Hester for a while, and I was reading those. So, you know, nothing great, but they're fine. And that probably should have turned me off from reading his Quiver run. But I don't know why. I was just like, oh, I haven't read this yet. It's been a while. Like, this has been forever. It's been on my to-read pile, but let me jump in now. And I'm glad I did, because overall I really enjoyed it. But like, there were some some really just awkward parts. And maybe it's Kevin Smith not really being a great comics writer at the time, or not understanding politics, or trying to oversimplify things or whatever. But like, I feel like he has a good grasp on the character. It's just he kind of like dumbs it down when it comes to things like that. It was awkward. I think you'd probably find it amusing, but
yeah. Well, I'm like a child, so I just looked it up, and this ran from April 2001 to January 2002.
Yeah, which means it came out on time. Yeah, every issue came out on time. And then Kevin Smith had a second volume in that run. I forget what it is. Like the Archer's Quest or something? Or that might be Meltzer's. I don't remember. But Kevin Smith started with issue 1, and he dropped off maybe issue 16. Mm-hmm. And then Brad Meltzer took over for 10 or 15 issues. Yeah. And then Judd Winnick took... Yeah, he finished out the book.
Yeah, because maybe it's like the Archer's Quest or something. I don't know.
I have a... I can tell you in a moment. It's...
Amazon.
Okay,
that
so...
That reminds me.
Quiver, Sounds of Violence. Those are the two...
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Sounds
that's
of Violence. And then Archer's Quest was Meltzer, and then Straight Shooter all the way to Road to Jericho was all Meltzer. Or, I'm sorry, it was all Winnick. What were you saying about Amazon?
It just reminds me, what is Wonder Woman's favorite shopping site?
Amazon?
Yes. I thought of that the other day. I thought of that because I was listening to this interview with, it was Craig Ferguson on Howard Stern, and he just said the word Amazon, and it just clicked in my head. I'm like, why haven't I thought of that before? This added nothing to this listening experience, but I just wanted to say it.
Listeners, if it added anything, please write to us and let us know.
Dave will feel vindicated.
Yeah, maybe. I think there was something else I thought, but I forgot. Maybe we'll come up again. Oh, yes, this is what I was going to say. I was going to say, you were talking about the Daredevil, Kevin Smith, on a scale of 1 to 10. Wait, no. On a scale of 1 to Quentin Tarantino, how bad was the dialogue in Daredevil?
Oof. It was Michael Bay, but longer.
Hmm. Because I started reading it once. It's on the Marvel app, Marvel Unlimited.
It's all text. It like and there are parts there are parts of Quiver that do the same thing. And like, I understand where the character is coming back from the dead. There's a lot of explaining to do. There's going to be a lot of exposition, maybe narration boxes or through dialogue. That's fine. I get it. There are definitely places it could have been trimmed, but like it definitely covered up the artwork in a lot of places where it probably should not have covered up artwork. It was, you know, no fault of the letter or anything like that. I don't know who lettered this book, but just Kevin Smith. Like,
yeah.
He did not try to trim his dialogue at all for the comics.
Yeah, I guess in the 2000s, that was a big thing, bringing characters back from the dead. They brought back Green Lantern 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So essentially, long story short, Green Lantern is responsible for Ollie coming back.
Mm-hmm. And then he dies.
So, yeah, he's responsible for bringing Oliver back from the dead. So, I mean, there's a lot more to it. It's very... It's more complicated than that, but yes. So,
I would like to see Kevin Smith write for Arrow.
I would too. He apparently directed the episode of Supergirl that was on this week.
Yeah, he has ties to Flash and Supergirl. I'm surprised they haven't had him write, because he said he didn't want to direct, but he would write, and I think that would be interesting.
I wonder if they don't want him to because he did write the character in the comics. I wonder if that's a thing.
I don't know. Well, I mean, they had Kreisberg wrote.
He wrote Green Lantern. He was writing Green Arrow after the show started, though.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, like he was a part of the show, and then he came on after that was after Jeff Lemire left. During New 52.
Did he write comics before?
Yeah, Kreisberg wrote comics. I think he did some like creator owned stuff, and I think he did stuff for DC too. But like he's been a part of comics, but I think he's more about TV.
Hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's like Guggenheim too. He's writing he's gonna be writing X-Men, and he writes comics. But he's also a novelist, and he's also a TV writer and producer. These dudes are busy.
Yeah, that'd be a great life, just being busy like that.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, if anybody wants to hire me as a TV producer or a screenwriter, you know, I'll do it.
There you go. I'll vouch for you, Dave.
Thank you.
Speaking of screenwriting, want to talk about Arrow?
Yes. Let's talk about Arrow.
Go on.
I will say, I think this episode was a lot better than last week's, and agreed. Just for the reason that it wasn't just a bunch of, let's say, torturing and you know, what's his name? Adrian Chase chewing the scenery and Oliver going, God. I kill people because I like it, which is in direct opposition of everything we've known about the character for the previous 5 seasons.
It really contradicted everything. I will agree that it was a lot better. I think it was a really good episode, and I liked the episode up until the last, like, minute or two. And it was one of those, oh, come on, you're going to do this now?
It's a beautiful morning. Just reminds me of the old Days Inn commercials.
Like, you know, it's good that we made this much progress in the episode. Like, in the fact that the flashbacks come into play. It was a culmination of all the flashbacks that I didn't care about leading into something pertinent to the to the episode. And with, what's his name?
Anatoly
and his men coming over to Star City because Oliver hires them to kill Prometheus, and then the rest of his crew is all like, bro, you cannot do this. This is not okay. And so it was good seeing that, and then just where everything led to, especially with I guess the police getting finally getting the drop from, you know, Oliver's people, leaking the footage, and Felicity's hacker crew helping out. You know, it's just, I just wish he didn't get away, because I don't want any more of this villain. I wanted it to be done with. But I want the Prometheus storyline to be over. But, I mean, it's a TV show, and that's also a comics work and everything, so it is what it is.
Yeah, like, I think maybe it was just listening, because I listened to the Quiver podcast, which is pretty good, and they mentioned it last week, and they mentioned it again this week, that they think, and I've shared this many a time with you, that I think basically what happened is, once the vigilante was cast on Arrow, everybody was like, wait a second, the vigilante, Adrian Chase, that's like the comics. So everybody was like, if they didn't know it already, just watching it, they're like, oh, this guy must be the vigilante, you know. And once everybody started figuring it out, they did a switch, you know, and they made him Prometheus. I'm certain that's what happened. There's no way the writing staff was clever enough to have planned this from the beginning. And that kind of bothers me.
I agree. But, I mean, it is what it is. This is where we're at, you know, in the show. So it's fine. You know, let's roll with it. But then, like, let's try to nip this in the bud. We didn't need Prometheus fleeing and getting away. And I didn't need to see, oh, God, I don't even want to talk about that scene. Gross. The guy getting stabbed with the pen. But,
Oh, yeah, you mean in the safe house thing?
Yeah. But I don't know. And of course, everything that we've talked about the past couple episodes too, you know, with Felicity's hacker crew, things are going to come to a head with that. That's fine. We got Prometheus out of the way. Let's deal with that now. I just wish Prometheus was out of the way because he was in prison or dead or, I don't know, something, but I just don't want to see him come back. He's not that... I didn't think he's that compelling of a villain. This is the same thing that happened with Damien Dark and Merlin, where there's too much of them for me to care about them anymore. And, like, if Merlin or Dark were to come back, I still wouldn't care. Like, maybe it'd be like, oh, they've spent enough time away where it's kind of interesting, but I still... Like, we've had more than enough of each of them. That's fine. I'm tired of spending a season, entire season, with one villain. So.
Yep. I believe the next episode doesn't air until, like, the 26th of April.
Yeah, it's a month break.
Ugh. Don't they take a break, like, every other week? It's like a 2-month break.
I feel like they do, but, I mean, after that, probably no breaks, and then they'll run it to till the end of May, so probably what, last like 5 episodes, 4 episodes maybe.
I'm hearing Thea and Theo will be in the last 5 episodes, and it'll be this whole thing about, you know, how Theo and Felicity are going down a dark path or something like that.
The thing with Theo going down a dark path, like, it didn't feel natural. Like she made these decisions, and, like, they weren't good decisions. But I never thought, like, that's something the mom would do. I just thought, like, Thea's being protective about her brother, or she's being, she's lacking the foresight, you know, it's kind of, like, narrow-minded in like, how it'll affect the future, or whatever. But it didn't seem, like, evil in the same way that Moira, like, in her decisions did.
Hmm.
So, and they kept forcing, like, the whole, like, oh, you're becoming mom kind of thing. Like, you're turning into mom. And I'm like, I don't see that, but. I don't know. I miss Thea, though, that she's such a great character. And I think the show needs her right now. So, I'm happy to see her come back, if that's the case.
Hmm. Yeah, well, she'll be back, so that's something.
That's good.
Yeah, so... What else happened on the Arrows? They're trying to get Oliver to be a killer again.
Yeah, but he won't do it himself. he has to hire people to kill.
Yeah, he didn't learn anything about the no-killing thing.
That scene... was I thought the best scene on the show was when Diggle came to Oliver, or Oliver came to Diggle's place.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Diggle opens the door, he just greets him with a punch in the face.
Yeah, that was funny. I lulled at that.
But that was very good, though, because Diggle the whole time is like, you're the one who, you know, when I killed my brother or whatever the case was, and you told me I can't have this on my conscience. Like I think Diggle was right in what he was saying to Ollie.
Yeah, he was trying to snap some sense into him.
He was. He's really the voice of reason for that team.
He's like, Oliver, I've watched this show for the last 5 years. There's nothing to give the audience the impression that you enjoy killing. That's nonsense.
I mean, he did it in the first season because that's what he did. Because that's what he thought he had to do. I never got the impression that he enjoyed doing it, though.
Yeah, he's not Dexter who collects blood slides and has this thing about, like, oh, yeah, I'm this dark passenger, he calls it. Oliver Queen is a superhero.
Yeah.
God damn you, Guggenheim.
Although I'm really curious as to how they're gonna, I feel like we're gonna end the season on a cliffhanger with either Oliver, something to do with him coming out as the Green Arrow, mm-hmm. or resigning as mayor, or the Green Arrow gets captured and people find out. Like, there's gotta be something big. After all the shit that they put us through with Prometheus, like, there has to be something big like that going on.
Well, when the episode when they revealed to the audience, or retconned to the audience, that Adrian Chase was Prometheus, that's the episode they really should have made him say, I'm the Green Arrow. That's when they should have done it.
I thought they were going to do something like that. Did you watch, did you watch Powerless this week?
I did this morning.
Okay, so, like, the scene when Ron Funches is like, I'm the one who used your bathroom. And then the other two characters come in and they're like, no, I did it. No, I did it. Like, we could have had, like, a scene like that in Arrow. It's like, I'm the Green Arrow. And then someone steps up and they're like, no, I am the Green Arrow. And then, it's like, show of solidarity. Or
like Harvey Dent in Dark Knight. We got to take the Batman in. I am the Batman, is like, Christian Bale is about to walk up.
By the way, Powerless was awesome this week. I missed that show for the past few weeks. I'm really enjoying that show now. I think it's just stupid fun.
I'm hearing it may be canceled, though.
I had a feeling that was going to be the case. I'm sure the ratings are not great, but I think it's really funny, and it's, I don't know, a good time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the Dark Knight trilogy now, where it's like there's a couple of times where Bruce is about to do something and somebody stops him from doing it. Like, he's about to kill Joe Chill in the courthouse, and the mobsters beat him to it, and he's about to confess that he's Batman, and Harvey Dent beats him to it.
Yeah, yeah. For being a great detective, he didn't detect the people were...
Yeah.
Going to beat him to his plans. But.
Yeah. But in his defense, he didn't just massacre everybody to try to kill another superhero.
Now, I mean, Ollie has to come clean that he's the Green Arrow or something. I don't know. Although it seems like, you know, he put the team back together after this, after disbanding the team for all of one episode. He put the team back together even though they never disbanded. They were like, we're still a team without you. That's fine. He's like, you can't do that. And they're like, we're human beings. We can make our own decisions. Thank you. But so he finally, you know, gets the team back together, so to speak. And it, at the end, it's missing his outfits or his, you know, his costumes or whatever. Because he's not quite ready. So I wonder if he plans on, at least in the beginning of the episode, taking on more like an Oracle kind of Felicity role, where he's just hanging out with her in the headquarters.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
That could be exactly how he finds out about Felicity and the hacking and everything, too.
So I guess everybody knows about the hacking except Oliver.
Yep. I like how Curtis, like, hacked the hackers, but then they hacked him back.
Yeah. So then, I know what's going to happen. Then we're going to find out that the hackers are bad. And then it's going to be like a fight with the hackers or something, or I don't know.
Yeah. That's what it looks like it's coming to. Like, on the next episode, or at least like the last, whatever, couple episodes of the season, it looked like they're going to war with the hackers somehow. And then Felicity has to choose a side, and this whole thing is... I mean, it was written on the walls from when this first happened, but hopefully it's at least interesting. It can't be worse than Prometheus for 19 episodes or anything, so.
They had Felicity dressed in, like, a kind of Arrow-ish kind of costume. Like, she looked like Huntress with, like, black hair and, like, a purple hood. And this is on Legends of Tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, I only saw the ending.
The season finale?
Well, I mean, I only saw... I don't know if it was season finale, but there was
If it was this week, it was the finale.
It might have been last week, but... I just saw a clip on YouTube. And that was about it.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm just excited I have zombies back next week.
You zombie.
We all zombie for iZombie.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on? I know we don't have much time left.
Speaking of iZombie, there was a new Spider-Man trailer because Marvel noticed too much buzz with Justice League and they're like, no, we need to remind everybody that we are the successful movie-making franchise company.
It looks awesome.
Yeah,
the movie looks awesome. Michael Keaton looks awesome. Freaking, like, I remember when I was searching for the trailer, or just like searching to see what people were saying about it, and then CNN and like all these, like, Huffington Post were like, did the trailer give too much away? And so, like, all trailers give too much away. That's not a thing anymore. The Justice League not giving too much away was like a big deal because it did what most trailers don't do. So, like, did Spider-Man give too much away? Probably, but I don't care because that's kind of like the nature of trailers now. I was just excited to see some new footage. It didn't get me any more hype for the movie because I am already stoked as fuck for this movie. So, it didn't need to, you know, get me engaged. It's just, it maintained my excitement. So I'm really, I don't know. It was an excellent trailer.
And we have to remember that the first Justice League trailer was released in March. The Justice League movie comes out November, so they still will probably release at least one more trailer, probably two more trailers.
I'm guessing two.
And that gives them two more opportunities to mess up and reveal too much. So hopefully DC is listening and they're treading lightly with this, but they still have that opportunity to mess it all up.
It's true. CNN can write their articles about Justice League.
Yeah. I saw some complaints like, ooh, is Tony Stark taking over the Spider-Man movie? It's like, shut up.
I'm guessing a couple things. I'm guessing he's not in it as much as we think. Hmm. And even if he is, like, the two of them teaming up, that's gonna be comedy gold.
Yeah.
Come on, that's gonna be, like, Quip Central. I'm cool with it. And since we're probably not getting another Iron Man movie with Tony Stark anyway, you know, with Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with him making the cameos or playing, you know, secondary roles or whatever.
He said he's open to it.
I don't know where they'd fit it in at this point. Like, you know, it's gonna be phase four by the time things start rolling around, so it's gonna be like probably 2020. You know, we're not getting an Iron Man movie for, I'm guessing, at 3 years at the very least.
I just had an idea.
What's up?
Team up movie. Iron Man, Iron Fist.
The Iron movie.
Yeah, it could be like Etched in Iron or something. I don't know.
Well, maybe Danny Rand with his Zen ways and him trying to focus his chi would help Tony Stark with his anxiety attacks, since he's always kind of frantic and everything, so.
He needs to get a chia pet.
You know, we rag on DC, but there was some pretty excellent DC news this week.
Yeah.
So,
Zack Snyder is going to throw himself off a bridge. No.
Joss Whedon talking with DC about making a Batgirl movie. New 52 era, which I'm cool with. I'm sure a lot of people aren't, because of the internet. But, I don't know, a standalone Batgirl movie, you know, focusing on, like, Gail Simone's run, where she's dealing with, like, the PTSD of her being out of the wheelchair, finally, and, you know, after the Joker shot her, and kind of dealing with life as a college student, coming into her own as a woman and as a hero, and, like, I don't know. That, to me, sounds awesome. Joss Whedon writing and directing it, I'll take it.
I just started reading the first of the New 52, because I looked up on it, of course, after they made the announcement. I'm like, I'm wondering if that's on sale. And Comixology, it was on sale for $5.99, so I figured, why not? So I started reading it, so I'm not that far.
I love Gail Simone as a writer, and I love her run on Batgirl. Her issues go up to issue number 34, I think. Mm-hmm. So she had a pretty lengthy run.
I did learn, though, that in this New 52, she, like you mentioned before, I didn't know that she, from the New 52, she still was previously in a wheelchair, but they made her get better, so she's not in a wheelchair. See, I assume that, like, she was just, like, magically never had been in a wheelchair, because I didn't really know about that whole thing.
Well, the New 52 was weird, what they decided to keep and what they didn't, and what they decided to change without actually writing it. There was no rhyme or reason. I think that's why, you know, up until last year when Rebirth happened, there's still confusion about the effects of the New 52. You know, it's a great place for people jumping on, but, like, if you know any little bit of history beforehand, excuse me, it's probably confusing itself to you as a reader. But I mean, Gail Simone deals with that, and like you said, you know, it's, you know, they talk about it in the book or whatever. But yeah, supposedly it was 2 years, I think, went by before she got back into the Batgirl suit. She was Oracle for 2 years and worked on her recovery.
But that's pretty cool they brought her back.
I think so, too. I know a lot of people... It's funny, because I was actually listening to this again yesterday on my iPod. I can't update it since this is, like, stupid side note. But it's formatted to a Mac, and since I no longer have a Mac, like, it's not formatted to the PC. It won't let me add any more, songs or podcasts on or anything unless I want to delete everything on there. So
do you use an iPhone?
I do, but but there's stuff on the iPod that I want to listen to. But the iPhone, I could add stuff. That's not an issue. But that being said, it's the point I'm making is that I have old stuff on the iPod that I can't get rid of. But so I have some new 52 podcasts, you know, from San Diego Comic-Con 2011, and I was actually listening to one yesterday. I don't know why. It was in the car, but I threw it on and I remember it was the new 52 panel, and they're asking, they're like a couple people, and I thought they made valid points, though. Two people in particular were asking, like, you took Barbara Gordon out of a wheelchair. What, why, you know, I'm not going to question what your wisdom was, but why take away this iconic handicapped character? Like, we don't have a lot of these characters, and you're taking away one of the ones that we have. And Gail Simone said, you know, we're not... You know, we're taking the wheelchair, you know, we're taking Barbara out of the wheelchair, but that's still a very huge part of her. That's not lost. She's carrying that with her. And I think Gail Simone did a very good job of making sure that that stays with her as part of her character. You know, now in the Batgirl run, as much as I love the Batgirl run, you really don't touch upon that. Probably because you're far removed from it. It's just... It's not as necessary, but I think for that run is very important for them to at least every now and again focus, like, Batgirl still has her limitations. She's not that far removed from, you know, almost being paralyzed from being shot by the Joker. It did upset a lot of people, understandably so. Like, and one of the people asking questions at the panel was a teacher, and she's like, I teach, you know, special needs children, special ed children, like these characters speak to them because they see themselves there. So on one hand, I could definitely see why people would be bummed out. But that being said, I love Barbara Gordon, and I'm very happy to see her in the Bats, you know, in Batgirl outfit again. Although I'd be reading if she were Oracle too, because I love the character. So, but regardless, if it comes to Batgirl movie, I know you would probably like your Cass Kane movie.
Yes.
But,
there'd be no words in the movie.
She would just beat the shit out of people. It'd be 3 hours of her just beating people up and no words. Silent film.
It would be kind of like Daredevil, where it's like he has a kind of a sonar thing where he could just, like, sense where all the people are. Except she would be, like, they do a good job of it in the comics. Just sensing, like, these are the places I could hit them that'll, like, you know, break their arm or, like...
Yep, she knows that, and she could tell movements, too.
Yeah, like, that would be awesome.
The way you're standing, she knows what move you're going to make next and everything. It's very... It's awesome. But, no, that'd be cool, but I'm so excited for a Barbara Gordon Batgirl movie.
I don't think we really touched upon the fact that it's Joss Whedon that's going to be writing and directing the movie.
Dude, that's huge, especially because of his, Whatever ill blood him and Marvel may or may not have, I think it's a wild move for him to head over to DC. Now, the only way this is going to be successful is if DC lets him do what he wants to do. They need to learn from what happened with Marvel, not letting Joss Whedon do what he wants to do.
They're going to let him do what he wants to do because Matt Reeves initially walked away, and word on the street is that money may have played a little bit in it, but I think the underlying issue was he wanted complete control of the process. That's why they're doing a page one rewrite of the Batman script that Affleck and Jeff Johns wrote.
Well, not for nothing, too, but if this is a true standalone Batgirl film, there's no reason that Joss Whedon shouldn't have complete creative control over the whole thing too. If it's not going to tie in, or, you know, maybe it'll give nods that it's part of the universe, but it doesn't need to connect to anything else. Like, he's a competent writer, he's a competent director and producer, and, you know, he's been doing this forever. Buffy just turned 20 years old, the series. Like, he's been in this game for a very long time.
Did he write the movie too?
I don't think he directed, but he wrote it. But
wow, so he dates back a long time.
Yeah. So,
I know he said in interviews that if he did another character again, he would just want it to be a singular thing. But, I mean, knowing that DC has had its woes and there's no real direction of where they want to go, wouldn't you think it would be smart to throw whatever money they could at him to make him this, like, overseer, godfather of a DC universe?
Yeah, but he might not want the... I think I would agree with that, but I think he might not want the responsibility that comes with it. Like, I'm sure the Avengers, as fun as that movie is and as amazing as it turned out, like, the experience of those two movies probably aged him, like, 10 years and 5 years, you know? It's just, like, it's got to be stressful. You have this huge franchise under your wing, and you're being told, like, 3 different things by, you know, what you want to do, and then what you know, maybe Marvel Studios wants, and then what, like, investors want, or whatever the case, and then, like, you have all these individual characters that you have to worry about and make sure that each of them have a full story arc within the movie, and, like, it's I'm sure it's a lot, and he probably just wants to take a break from it. You know, just focus on one character, tell this full, rich story.
Did you ever watch Firefly?
I did. I actually started rewatching it again recently.
Yeah, a friend of mine was, like, really obsessed with that show.
It's a great show. It's a huge cult following. I love Dollhouse. A lot of people don't like that show.
That's also Joss Whedon?
That's also Joss Whedon. It's awesome. It's Eliza Dushku, and it's super interesting. Yes, check it out.
I was just thinking about that because I finally saw Logan, and in that Deadpool teaser at the beginning, I noticed all these, like, Firefly posters in the background.
Yep. Because Fox wants to do Firefly, and they said they'd only do it if Joss Whedon was involved, but I don't think Joss Whedon wants to do Firefly.
Yeah. But I did see Logan, and I was going to say, it kind of, like, shocked me how violent it was.
Incredibly violent. Incredibly violent movie. There was no skirting around that R rating. That is a hard R.
In the beginning, I was kind of, like, confused a little bit because they were cursing a lot. It was just very odd to hear Professor X be like, "What the fuck, Logan?"
Yeah.
But they calmed down after a while.
Yeah, they did. And I mean, I think the cursing right away, too, was, like, to show the audience, like, that this is not the film that you think it may be. Like, it's going to be edgy. This is going to be dark. This is going to be violent. So.
Yeah, it was a very dreary movie. Like a Western, but.
It was a road trip Western, but in the X-Men universe. That's, I mean, the only similarities really held to the Mark Miller run, you know, Old Man Logan storyline, but.
Yeah.
Great movie. I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I was hearing, like, oh, it might get awards and stuff. I'm not sure.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, sorry. I missed that.
I don't know if... I think if anybody got awards, I think it would be the little girl.
She stole the movie. That was her movie, as far as I'm concerned.
At some points, I was like, is she ever gonna talk at all? And then she did start, and then she just started rambling really fast in Spanish.
It was awesome.
And she knew English, too. And it was just... I don't know. It was just funny, because Logan's like, you could speak all the time? What the fuck was that?
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
I got a jet soon, so do you want to touch upon this last this last little bit of news. I just threw it on there real quick, but it makes me happy that Marvel is finally bringing back their digital codes with their comics. It was,
I knew you were going to say something about that.
Yes, because...
They took it away.
Well, they took it away for like 2 months, and they fucked me on my runs. Now, I have like... I'm going to have a gap.
Angry tweet at them.
I'm going to have a gap in digital runs. Like, I hope they plan on...
They should reimburse the people who bought stuff.
They really should, because that's nonsense.
At the very least, Rob. To Marvel, if you're listening, give Rob like a million free comics.
And not for nothing, as petty as this may have been. Actually, it's not petty. It's an investment. I dropped a lot of books because it didn't come with the digital codes anymore. Like, I can't justify spending that much on paper comics if the digital codes don't come with it anymore. And I understand that's how much comics cost now, but... At the same time, there's still books that cost $2.99.
Yeah, the DCs.
So, I mean, I'm glad that Marvel changed their minds and they're offering it again. That makes me super happy. And it's at no cost to them because people are still going to buy digitally. I wonder if they realized that a lot of people were dropping books because of it.
That must have been why. That's the only thing corporations listen to.
Seriously, because I dropped books because of it. I was like, well, this is kind of... Like, it's convenient for me, but if I'm going to... Like, I really like this book, but if I'm going to spend this much money on the book, it's not an added perk anymore. It's not like, oh, bonus digital. No, that's just a part of it. And then when you... It's like $4 or $5 for an average comic book. That doesn't come with anything else. I don't know.
DC was smart by not offering it in the first place.
Well, DC offered it sort of in the New 52, but everything, because for the first 40 issues of Batman, I would get it digitally too. I'd spend the extra dollar to get the digital copy. So I'm spending.
Oh, they gave you the option?
They gave you the option on Batman, Superman, Justice League.
Damn, I need a time machine.
Green Lantern, I think Wonder Woman, only like the major characters. But aside from that, like otherwise they didn't have the option. And then they took it away. It just wasn't there anymore after issue 40 when they started doing that DC YOU initiative. But they kind of ditched it then. So I remember being kind of bummed because I have Batman in print, but I also have the digital run up until issue 40, and then it's just gone. So the last 12 issues of the run I'm missing digitally. But, I mean, it's convenient because sometimes I'll buy the book, and then I'll come home, throw everything, you know, redeem the codes, throw it all on my iPad, and then just bring my iPad to work. Or if I have time to sit at home, I'll read the physical copy. But, you know, if I'm going to be out at work or, you know, like when I used to take the train to work, I, you know, read on the train, stuff like that, but I don't know. But yeah, that's all I had to say about that for news.
Snap.
Yes. But sorry to our listeners, or maybe happy that this is a shorter episode, but I really have to jet today. But yeah, so this one's kind of concise for our standards, possibly normal length for any other comic book podcast, but but yeah. For comics reviews, it's on the shorter end. But either way, I still think we got a good amount of... It was a nice discussion full of what we could stuff in here. But yeah, so thank you for tuning in, everyone. If you wouldn't mind, if you listen to us on iTunes, rate and review us, that'd be kind of cool. If not, you could, you know, however you find us, Stitcher, you know, every other place that we're on
at this tune in,
thank you. Podomatic, or I feel like there's something else too. We're on one other one.
There's
maybe.
Stitcher, Podomatic, TuneIn, iTunes.
I thought there was one more, maybe not.
But I don't know. Maybe I can get us on SoundCloud or something.
True. Yeah, if you want to follow us on Facebook, give us a little like-see, shoot us a message. We will be more than happy to read questions and answer them on the podcast. You can follow us on Facebook. I just said that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Comics Reviews. And you can follow me personally on Twitter at Petinato Rob or Instagram at Call This Rational. And Dave, where can you be found on the internets?
Yeah, I could be found at Comics Reviews. And also at Batman Petrucci. Nope. That's Hello. Batman and Petrucci.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, sorry, you were cutting out. Of course, right at the end. Yep. But yeah, let's end this before Skype disconnects us. But yeah, thank you to everyone once again for tuning in, and until next time.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Mike and Ryan.
Bye.
Farewell.